Greetings from the land that flows with much water. It is a joy to be here tonight. It's had a good drive up and appreciate the accommodations. Very, very nice. And it's good to see brothers and sisters that you only get to see maybe once or twice a year. I don't know, I guess we go to the different conferences, and it's always a joy. And it's a joy to be back here in Traverse City. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. I guess the only thing I can think of right now is concerning Brother Gordon's message. I wish I'd have thought of that. But it's a good thing I didn't. It's a good thing I didn't. I appreciate that message, brother. That was a great message and a great reminder. If we can read of Christ in the Scriptures and it stops there, we are miserable people. We are miserable people. Thankfully, we do have the Scriptures. And there is much that we can, as was already said, He's on every page. And it's supposed to be that way. That's how it was designed. And it wasn't just designed so that we could have that knowledge. It was designed that way so that we could have the experience that is supposed to come about as a result of that knowledge. And that's what we rejoice in every time we open the Word of God. Yes. And if we would just do what we were just challenged to do. And that should be our hope every time. Not just when we come into the house of God, but when we get into the Scriptures as we're supposed to every day in our lives, that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ, and that as a result of that, people would see Jesus in us. And that's the primary goal, that they would see Him. I'm going to take my text beginning with verse 10, and this is one of the accounts that Brother Gordon mentioned. As soon as he mentioned that, my daughter, she elbowed me. She said, "Dad, that's your message." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." And we want to look at the account where Jacob has his dream. But we want to get a little bit of context with that. I know several people had mentioned, and I was sitting in the pew, and it made me think of this just before I came up. Well, just before the quartet came up. And I realized my suit's not clean. And that's a result of being a grandpa now. This is a suit I had on Sunday when I held my brand new granddaughter. And some of her is right there. So, honey, we're going to have to go back to get my suits dry cleaned more than once a year. So, but it is a joy. And we're having fun with it. Genesis chapter 28, we have the account where Jacob is literally on the run. And we know, you know, the background of the story. And in this account, we see where he has a dream. And we're going to talk about that dream and what that means. And not just what it may mean to when it comes to a salvation experience, but hopefully every time that we see the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture and then that coming out into our lives, it is a very supernatural event. The fact that we have Christ, and as we think about this, and what was just said, that He's right there. It's as if He is, that He's right there, and that is because He is. That's because He is. And so we want to look at this passage here, and you know, after this dream, we study on, and we see that Jacob faithfully waited on God through some trying circumstances, and trusting the Lord to do His will, and we know how he worked for his uncle Laban for 7 years for no more wage than a bride's hand in marriage. And when Laban tricked him by giving him Leah instead of Rachel, we see that Jacob accepted that and worked another 7 years. I'm sure a lot of employers would like someone that would have that kind of a stay. But after this, Jacob worked many more years for his scheming father-in-law before finally parting from him and returning back to Canaan and his family, and God instructed him to do that. But prior to that dream, Jacob's in some trouble. Trouble that Jacob caused himself with the help of mom, just a little bit. You know, moms are supposed to be there to help us, to point us to do the right thing. Jacob's mom didn't quite do that with him. And Jacob used questionable means to, in his own mind, help God through some circumstances. Someone asked me one time, what if Jacob would have never done that? Wouldn't have Esau got the blessing? And no, I don't believe he would have. I believe that it was going to be Jacob's blessing, Jacob's blessing to begin with. There's so many things. You know, we think about the sovereignty of God and how God is in control, and that's a nice thing to talk about. But, you know, sometimes we act as if we don't really believe that. Right. And we want to help God out. I've done that before, and it just doesn't work.
Right.
It does not work. And so Jacob realized this in time. But in the meantime, they got him into trouble. And after this dream, Jacob had a change, just like those two on the road to Emmaus. After meeting with the Lord, his perspective changed. And so we want to look at this evening. I want to begin with verse 10 in Genesis chapter 28. The Bible says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." And I just want to stop right there and notice Jacob was in very much a time of desperate need. And in times of desperation, even God's people can do things that just doesn't make sense. They just don't make sense. Jacob was not leaving home. He was fleeing from home. His flight had been planned by him and his mother to save his life from the assumed threat of Esau. You can study that in the previous chapter. Esau's threat was real. And so Jacob feared for his life. So he was fleeing. He was on the run. Haran is about 500 miles, about a 500-mile journey for Jacob. And he was traveling, probably more likely with just the clothes on his back, maybe a few possessions. I'm thinking pretty much he left everything back home. This was a rash decision, and he realized he was in danger, and so he fled. As we see here, the Bible says that he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. When you go down to verse 19, it mentions the name of the city there was called Luz. And I believe what happened here is Jacob spent the night out in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes on your way up here, you kind of feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. Thankfully, the GPS stays plugged in and works. We took our left turn somewhere, and I thought I was on a dirt road. And it wasn't a dirt road. It was paved. It just wasn't paved very well. And we said no to Google Maps and took a turn and got more on a smoother road. Jacob was out probably in the middle of nowhere with hardly anything, living with a fear deep down inside of him. He was probably in a dangerous place. Those times, in places like that, it seemed, you know, there would be maybe some robbers and some dangers out there. But you think of, I thought about maybe what was going on at home, and where's Jacob? Where'd Jacob go? And I'm sure being in the family that he was in, a lot of people realized he was gone. And Jacob left all that very abruptly. His deceit, his lies against his father and Esau, I'm sure the news had spread. I'm sure the news had gone out. think of the scandal. You think of the dishonor that Jacob brought upon his family, the disgrace, the outrage. Obviously, Esau was outraged. Wondering maybe if Esau was right on his heels. But he found a place and he made up camp. Look at this camp. The Bible says that he lighted on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very comfortable. But that's all he had. That's all he had. The Bible says he lay down in that place, and here's an amazing thing to me. He slept. To sleep. I can't sleep on a comfortable bed. Of course, my wife says I can't stay in bed. We got into this room, and I was floored. I had a king-size bed. I told the doctor, I had a doctor's visit a couple weeks ago, and I said, Doc, I keep having this problem. And he must have thought I was goofing off, or I said, I keep falling out of bed. I do. I've had vertigo problems and all that, but for some reason, it doesn't go away in the middle of the night. And I told the doc that I'm thinking about asking the church to spend some money and put an addition on the house so I can have a bigger bedroom so I can have a king-size bed. I keep falling out of bed. I don't understand. Jacob is in a very uncomfortable place. And you know what? It was Jacob's fault that he found himself there. Because Jacob didn't trust God. Well, let's go on. He left home and he settles down for the night all alone, gripped with loneliness. I'm sure, you know, Jacob was used to being around a lot of people. He was bound to have a sense of loneliness being out there. And then he makes a pillow out of stones, destitute, possessing only what he could carry. He's having to leave all that he had, all the possessions, back home, fleeing for his life, literally with nothing but what he carried. Jacob was in a desperate place. Jacob was in desperate need of help. But I don't think Jacob realized that at the time. You know, I don't know, maybe he thought, well, this is what life is going to be like from now on. I always have to look behind my back to see if my brother's there. And I can just imagine the despair that he was under. Probably wondering, is there any help? Is there anyone that I'm going to come upon that can help? Is there anyone that would even care? You know, there's a lot of people like that in our world today. Right. They're just looking for someone to care. The Bible says in Psalm 107:17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Sometimes I can look in and I can say, well, I must have done something foolish to cause something to happen. We go through problems, everything. The first thing we ask, all right, what did I do? I think that's kind of a healthy thing to do. Yes. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Jacob brought this upon himself. And I think a lot of times, even God's people can bring things upon themselves and maybe not even think or notice that they've done anything to cause the situation that they're in to happen. But it's good to have understanding. And tonight, this night of sleeping on a hard pillow, Jacob was going to get some understanding. Amen. We see the dream in verses 12 down through verse 15. The Bible says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now I want to spend a few moments on this dream. Jacob, somehow, well, we can say only by God's grace did he fall asleep. And I think that's the reality of it, because God had a plan. God had a dream that he was going to give this man. And so we see that he fell asleep and he had this dream. Notice some aspects of this dream. First of all, we see this ladder. Commentaries, somewhat, most of them call this something that possibly looked like a stairway. And a way had been opened. And it says in verse 12 that it reached to heaven. Now this is not something, obviously it's a dream, but it reminds me of a group of people that tried to build a stairway, a ladder, a tower, whatever you want to call it, to reach heaven. Because man thought he had a good idea. Of course, we know what happened earlier in the book of Genesis, and God confounded their language to where they couldn't finish that thing, because you can't get to God a way that's contrived by human reasoning and man's way of thinking things. It's amazing to watch people nowadays and see what they do, thinking that it's going to allow them to reach heaven, to secure a communication with God. And I would suggest that probably most of what takes place throughout our country and around this world on the first day of the week is nothing that resembles any kind of a reality. It's nothing more than man's ideas of trying to reach a God that they probably don't even know. They know he exists, or some God exists. And you might be surprised how many of them do that with the recognition that they're worshiping Satan. It's amazing. This ladder was not made by man. And again, it's in the mind of this young man named Jacob. But it was supplied.
Amen.
It was supplied by the God of heaven. And in this dream, the Lord reveals himself. And I believe this is Christ. Now, there's a couple different things that we see here. And it was brought up already that the ladder was the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? You can go back in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, where Jesus is speaking to his new disciples, and he makes this statement in verse 51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon," look at this, "the Son of Man." Jesus himself. And so as we progress in this message, we'll see. We know Jesus is that ladder. The ladder, I see the ladder in this whole thing in a couple different ways. First of all, obviously, we know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you tonight, Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, through that he accomplished. Do you know that most Well, all religions, all man-made religions, focus on doing something to get to heaven. True biblical Christianity is the only teaching, the only, can I use the word religion, true religion, that teaches that to go to heaven, something's already been done. And even, and they won't understand this until after they're saved, but even the ability to repent and trust Christ as their Savior is a gift from God. So this is a ladder that is supplied from God. It is supplied by God Himself. And God Himself, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that ladder, is that stairway, is the way. There is no other way. There's no other works. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing anyone can do or say or convince. Most of the people I talk with, they think that they won't know whether or not they're going to heaven until they stand before the Lord. And that's, and I don't argue with them. Yeah, you may not know, but I know. The Bible says that if you don't know, you're not. You won't be going to heaven. Because Bible salvation is a no-so salvation.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is that go-between. The Bible says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He is the great mediator between heaven and earth, between God and man. Hebrews 9:24 says, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true." That's what all these types were. They were figures, types, pointing to the true. He says, "But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." He is that way. He is. He's the way. For the child of God, He is our mediator between heaven and earth. He is our go-between. The Bible calls Him our advocate. In 1 John 2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin," and we do, we sin, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins." We could never satisfy God. We could never satisfy God's justice. Only Christ can do that. Only His shed blood on our behalf could do that. He says, "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So Jesus Christ is that advocate. Now there's another aspect of this dream that Jacob has. And this is the activity that is taking place on this ladder or stairway. We see in the second part of verse 12, the Bible says, "And behold, the angels of God." There's an identification here. Jacob, in this dream, had an acknowledgement that these were the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Up and down, back and forth, up and down. And I believe that those angels, well, let me say this, they weren't just getting their exercise. They were going up and down for a purpose. Folks, what we do as God's people today has a purpose. It ought to, anyway. It ought to. And I believe that these angels had received, and again, this is in this dream, depicting the angels receiving instructions. Now, just read the book of Revelation. We know the book of Revelation is filled with angelic activity. And the thing that has always stricken me is that you see all that activity, and the angel comes, you see the seal judgments, trumpet judgments, the vial judgments, and all the activity of the angels. And it just strikes me that I don't believe at any time when God instructed those angels, or the Lord instructed those angels, that any one of them would have said, "Well, you know, can I do that later? You know, I was thinking about that. I got an idea." instead of doing that, what if we did this? Now, I know what your plan is, Lord, but I've got an idea. You don't see that. Why is it? Why is it that nature, all of the living creatures that God created, they do exactly what He designed them to do? Every single one of them. And they're kind. And those kinds don't mix. The angels whom God created, everything He tells them to do. I mean, there's the commandment. There they go. Down to earth to do what they're told to do. Why is it that the being, and we know the answer, the being, the one being, the one creation that God created, that He breathed in His nostrils and it became a living soul, why is that one the one that always gives God the hard time? Well, Lord, I'd do that, but you know, my back is hurting. I realized I didn't do such and such, and I think I need to do this. I'll go to church next Sunday. And here's the thing. So, well, you know, those sinners, well, most of those people that talk like that claim to be saved. And yet there they are. Now, I know in the churches that I represent, we have faithful members, and I'm sure they're the ones that are here. On a cold, what in the world happened? A cold October. I know, it's October. It's supposed to be like that. We'd go out and go to a Bible conference. People who love the Lord. Amen. People who have seen Jesus and want to continue to see Jesus. These angels. What Jacob saw was activity. Now, not all activity is scriptural and according to what God would have us to do. But folks, I think it's a good idea to find out what God would have us to be doing and do it. Amen. Do it. We may think, well, you know, I'm all alone. You get that Elijah complex. Think that God's not doing something to change your situation. Oh, that spiritual eyes would be open. And that's what happens here to Jacob in this dream. His eyes are going to be open, and he's going to see and really have a realization of who he's seeing. Yes, he saw the angels, but that's not where the focus stays. Those angels ascending and descending, that's stated that it's happening. It's not until the next verse that you see, and behold, the Lord. It's good that we as God's people stay busy for the Lord, but let's make sure we don't get our eyes focused on our busyness. Look what I do. Look how faithful I am. Oh, I'll tell you, this church wouldn't be the same if it weren't for me. Guess what? That's true. Good or bad. Okay? We need to look at ourselves and say, listen, don't focus on that. Focus on who we're doing, what we're doing for. Focus on Him. And I think when we get a good focus on Him, I think that we'll be doing the right things. And so he says in verse 12, and in verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. Here we see the presence of the Lord in heaven. His sovereign control over the affairs that were going on back and forth between heaven and earth. Christ is sovereign. He has the sovereign power to protect Jacob in that place of danger and threats, to take care of the past with all that garbage that went on with his brother, lying to his father like he did, to look after his family and the other loved ones while he was away, to fulfill his promises to Abraham. Isn't that how he introduces himself? I am the Lord God of Abraham. You kind of have an idea. Jacob probably knew who that guy was. Grandpa. Right? He knew that. And the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest. laying there with her head on a rock, all down, despondent. It was going to be a place of blessing for him. Isn't that amazing how we can be where we're at? Oh boy. And forget why we're there. And get our eyes on our problems.
Yep.
Coming home from camp. Great week, spiritual week. What a great time we had. I don't know how it all conspired. Transpired. My wife's communicating with our daughter, Katie. Say, oh, Mom, you're not going to believe what's happening here. We're getting a lot of rain. I believe they said within just a few hours' time, there were 6 inches of rain. We got home, and we couldn't even go down our road. For those of you that have been to our church, we have a county drainage ditch in front of our church property. You did not know where the road was and where the ditch was. Now, a few hours later, we were watching people going down there just wishing. Nah, we weren't that mean. But it would have been funny because they weren't supposed to be going down there. We couldn't get our vehicles in there, so much water. At least at first we thought there was too much to get there. The path that goes between the church building and the parsonage where I live, I took my shoes off and I walked through. I saw my son-in-law walk across there, and I walked through, and the water was halfway up my calf. And I'm like, whoa, boy. In the last couple months, we've been dealing with that. And there's been times where I'm like, I don't know what to do. We had flood insurance, but we canceled it because we didn't think we needed it. Well, that was kind of dumb, wasn't it? Well, that was my fault. I take that blame. But no, we did. We talked about it, me and Brother Lance and the man. And we're like, well, you know, we're paying so much for it. What I'm getting at is we can look at our situation and we can complain about the very place where God is blessing us or going to bless us. And as we talked about it, we're getting the ball rolling on this. It's going to cost way more money than what we would ever imagine and just to fix it all. But we're in the process. And I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? And unfortunately, Brother Graber, there had to be time and time again where the Lord had to remind me, you're not going to do anything. I'm going to do something.
Amen.
Not you. I am. And the Lord has used people. I can't even, I don't want to get into that. There's probably more water going to be, liquid going to be on my Bible than's in this cup right here. But this is the place. God is sovereign. He's in control. And where you're at, where Jacob was at. Oh, there's despondency. How are we going to get through this? God puts you there. Now, yeah, some of the circumstances might be your fault, and you'd be there maybe a little differently if you didn't lend a lie to your dad. But this is going to be a place of blessing for you, Jacob. And so, as the Lord is talking with him, and we'll get there in a minute when it comes to dreams and today. And so he promises him. The guarantee, the promises. In verse 13, the second part, we see a guarantee of the promise of the land. He guarantees the promised seed, the numerous descendants there in the first part of verse 14. Oh, and then comes the great part. In the second part of verse 14, he says in verse 14, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, get this, please get this, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. And then he says in verse 15, and behold, just study that word behold. Go through all the scripture and just study passages of scripture where the word behold is. I am with thee. Oh, we need to remember that. Not just every day, every moment of every day. I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again, that's another passage, another message, into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now I want to spend some time on this because now I want to bring this over to us today. Note the promises. In verse 15, we see the Lord, who is this ladder, who is this way, and He's above all the earth. He's the one that's commanding the angels, the activities, and today I believe that activity. Yes, I believe there's angelic activity. Personally, I don't believe you see Him. I don't think they take on human form. I know people take that verse, but I'm not getting, that's another message too. But folks, the Lord uses His people today. And by that, I mean saved, scripturally baptized Baptist church members. He uses His churches. They're the ones. That is the place where the Lord gets His work done. Right. Listen, the kingdom of God, and I know you all know this, the kingdom of God and the church are not the same thing. We understand what the kingdom of God is. But I'm here to tell you that only the church has authority to do the work in that kingdom. That's just the way it is. Jesus started His kind of church, and that kind of church, I believe, is around today. I believe there's several of them represented in this room tonight, and they're the ones that God is directing. And as they will listen, as we will listen, as we will obey, carrying out the work that He wants us to do. Now, note a few things here in verse 15. We have a guaranteeing of His presence. He guarantees Jacob, I am with thee. And His protection, I will keep thee in all places whether thou goest. Notice the leadership. And will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee. That's a promise. That's a stated fact. A promise given. And then notice this, and I almost missed this one. Until I have done that which I have spoken of, or spoken to thee of. There's His purpose. So we have a promise, a guarantee that the Lord is giving to Jacob of His presence, His protection, His leadership or His guidance, and the fulfillment of His promises, as well as, and this is important, the fulfillment of His purpose.
Yes.
Folks, we're not just here on this earth to gather together and sing and preach, and we do all that and we enjoy that, but it all has a purpose. It all has a purpose. I said this, I can't remember who I said it to. I've said it in preaching, but I said this to someone and their eyebrows just kind of went up. I said, God didn't save you so you can go to heaven.
Amen. That's right.
Boy, he's like, what do you mean? I know I'm going to heaven. I didn't say you weren't. But that's not why God saved you.
Amen.
That's just the result. The reason God saved you for now, for time and eternity, was for you to glorify His name.
Right.
And folks, how sad it is. Some people are waiting until they get to heaven, or they think they're waiting until they get to heaven to do that. But until then, they just go on their merry way, doing whatever they want to do. Thank the Lord for people who have seen Jesus. Thank the Lord for faithful church members who are there. Listen, and you can be there every service and still not see Him. It's so important that we take it seriously. So I want to just quickly break this, really quickly break this down. He mentions the promise of His presence. Behold, I am with thee. I remember Jesus saying in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Who did He say that to? He said that to His church. In Matthew 18:20, He says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Boy, is that verse taken out of context by religion today. Folks, that verse only applies to the Lord's true New Testament church.
Amen.
Okay? Or even churches when they come together. Oh, how important it is for us to take God at His word. He's with us. Now, I want to jump down, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to jump down here. And the Bible says down in verse 16, Jacob waked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. There's people that go to church, go through their daily lives, and the Lord is there, and they don't even know it. That's sad. But this is on the other side of the dream that he's acknowledging this. Because I think Jacob was looking at himself saying, oh, I didn't even know it, but I know it now.
Amen.
And that's the change that took place. Behold, I am with thee. And then he says, I will keep thee in all the places where thou goest. Here's the promise of Christ's protective keeping power. Psalm 121:4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And then you come over and the New Testament, Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know that. I know that. He will keep me. Peter said concerning God's people who are kept by the power of God through faith. See, it's got to be real. It's got to be real. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Boy, what a revelation that's going to be. Jude says in the 24th verse, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That's not talking about losing your salvation. And I believe that. I don't think you can lose your salvation. But you know what? When we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, and we don't have a reality of his presence in our lives, we will do nothing but trip over ourselves. We will. You mean you believe you can fall from faith? Absolutely. It has nothing to do with your salvation. But that I've seen people get so far away from the Lord that they live almost like they don't believe he exists anymore. And some people probably admit that. I don't believe God exists anymore. Well, more than likely, you didn't believe it to begin with. And that's sad. Oh, but let's not. And Jacob, I think, came out of this dream thinking, I don't want to go back in that situation again. I don't want to be in that place again where I don't know. Then, of course, in Revelation 3:10, Jesus says, because thou hast kept the word of thy patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Oh, the faithfulness. Faithfulness. I think God gives a promise. I think there are some unconditional promises. I also believe there are some conditional promises that God gives. And I won't go into the whole covenant thing with the land and all that, but that's a good study about them. Then we see the promise of leadership. I'll bring thee again to this land. Romans 8:14, Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know why people doubt their salvation? Because they don't see Jesus. He's not in their lives. He hasn't come off the pages, as Brother Gordon preached to us. He hasn't come into their daily lives. He hasn't come into their, oh, this is a big thing, their decision making.
Right.
You know, how many times, oh, Pastor, I prayed about this. As if they're trying to back the pastor in a corner. I've gotten to where I just tell people, it don't matter if you pray about it or not. If it's not according to the Word of God, God didn't give you the go. Whether you think he did or not. All the praying you can never do, that's called feigning prayer. Well, I prayed about it. Sorry, it won't work. It won't work. And you know what? They don't need to worry about it not working on me. They need to realize it's not going to work on God. The Lord's not going to accept that. And so, this promise of leadership. Oh, how we need to follow the Lord. And we do that by following his word. And then we see the promise of fulfilling his promises and his purposes. He said, I'll not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Oh, the Lord has a purpose for us. There's a reason that when someone is saved, we right away begin to teach them of why they need to be baptized and what it means. What it means to be a member of a church. I think there might be some people that are a member of a New Testament Baptist church, a sound church, and they don't even know why. They don't know what mean. I think it's important that we teach. And I think you know, the Lord's church is that's part of our job, part of our obligation is to teach people. This is why you are to be a member, and this is what it means to be a member. But Jacob realized that God had a purpose. That's part of the message that Jesus was revealing to him. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not, hey, I'm saved and that's it. No, that's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's so much more. Just like reading of Christ in the pages, that's just the beginning. The purpose of that is for him to be seen in our everyday lives.
Right.
And then I go right into in verses 16. Jacob waked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Shame on me. I knew it not, but I do now. There was a change here. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? He for the first time, and you know, many, you know, we believe that, oh, this is when, you know, God saved Jacob, when God brought Jacob to that true knowledge. I mean, I'm sure Jacob, all he heard of was God. All growing up as a kid, but whether, you know, this is that time of Old Testament salvation. But here's the thing, he was lacking, but when he really saw the Lord, wasn't lacking anymore. Listen, we get a good glimpse of the Lord through His revealing Himself to us. It'll change us for good. I don't buy this, you know, being faithful for a few years. I don't buy this. Well, I serve the Lord, you know, 10, 15 years, and you know, things change. There's those things. Things change. Yeah, but God doesn't. His word doesn't change. The purpose of His church doesn't change. The purpose for our lives is saved, born-again children of God. And if we've been baptized into the New Testament church, that hasn't changed. And so, he says, I was afraid. How dreadful is this place? How spectacular? How supernatural is this place? He now knew the Lord was with him, whether he sensed it or not. He sensed how awesome, if I could use that phrase, his experience had been. Notice what he calls this place, and he says, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Folks, there ought not be any other place on earth. Now listen, God is not just in a place. But folks, this building, the building where Home Baptist Church meets together, the building where Flat Rock Baptist Church meets, every New Testament Baptist Church where they meet, that's a place that has been set apart, has been consecrated for the purpose of the glory of God. Whether it's through teaching Sunday school, the preaching of the Word of God, the outreach, the reaching our community, reaching our friends, reaching our oikos, study that word, telling people, giving the gospel, living the gospel. There's no other place on earth like that place. And it's just a glimpse of what we're going to be doing for all eternity. The house of God, this speaks of God's worship. Matthew 18, 20, we read this earlier, where two or three are gathered together in my name. That in my name. That's the key right there.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that will call on the name of Jesus, but Jesus says there's going to be a lot of people that did all kinds of things in my name, but they never knew me. And I believe in my name means according to my authority.
Exactly. Amen.
Unto him be glory in the church, the Lord's church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. The gate of heaven. Certainly we think about that Jesus is the only way. But I also read in the book of John where Jesus is that gate for his sheep. And Jesus said they can come in and out and find pasture. I think that's communion with the Lord.
Yeah.
God's people. What a way. What a place. And that's what Jacob's response was. Paul said in Ephesians 2, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh unto the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He is that way. Jacob needed to set this place apart as a special place.
Yes.
And my time is up. You can go into the New Testament epistles written to the Lord's churches. How important the Lord's church was in Paul's writings. That's how you learn how to be a church member, studying the New Testament epistles. To live, to carry out the work of God. The Bible says in verse 19 that he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. Put a name on it. If you read the booklet by Roy Mason, the Church of Jesus built, and you read in there of the tests, the historical test, the doctrinal test, what is the Lord's kind of church? And there's no doubt in my mind, from the study of the scriptures, that there is a name. I don't think we need to be ashamed of that. A lot of people, they emphasize, well, you know, Baptist was given to us by our enemies. No, it wasn't. It was given to us by the Lord. Yeah, it might have been through the enemies, but that was God-given. That was a sovereign title. John the Baptist. He wasn't called John the Baptist because he baptized people. He was called John the Baptist because he was a man sent from God who had authority to baptize people. And that's the difference. There's a place. And then we see in closing, Jacob, verse 20, he vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. You see, when we allow the Lord to work in our lives, he will prove to us he is who he says he is. And this stone, I like this, and this stone, this despondency, this heartache, this loneliness, this lacking, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. He took that stone of despondency and he turned it into a place of remembrance for the glory and the honor of God. Over and over again, these last couple months, I've been saying a phrase to myself all this time. God will make this trial a blessing. God will make this trial a blessing. We go through hardships and trials. Trust the Lord. Don't do what Jacob did. Jacob learned. Before, he tried to take things into his own hands, and all he did was mess it up. I know exactly how Jacob feels. Probably most of us, one time or another, have done that. But now he's willing to say, you know what, I'm going to just stand back. I'm going to let God be God. I'm going to stand back until the Lord says, over here. And I'm going to go over there. And the Lord says, hey, go over here and do this. I'm going to go over and do that. When I read in his word and it says, you need to go and tell, I'm going to go and tell. When the Lord says, you need to consecrate your life, be a living sacrifice, I'm going to do that. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And at his direction, just like those angels, we ought to give him immediate, total loyalty and obedience. That will happen when we see Jesus. Amen. That's what happened to Jacob when he saw Jesus. That ladder, that stairway. Listen, Jesus' way is the only way. It's not only the only way to heaven, it is the only way to sanctification. It's the only way. Listen, that separation, there's a reason that that ladder gave a distance between heaven and earth. And yet, it connected heaven and earth. God is not. There is no darkness in him. Folks, the world is full of darkness. And so there had to be a way. And I believe it was the way that was contrived in the mind of God before he ever said, let there be anything.
Yep.
And he did it all. And he allowed what transpired so that that ladder and that dream will become a reality in your life and in my life and every child of God who sees Jesus is saved and says, you know what? I'm going to make a decision like Jacob did. I'm going to get busy. I'm going to consecrate my life. I'm going to live for the Lord. My actions aren't just going to be actions to be seen. For the glory of God. He's the way, a supernatural way, with a supernatural presence, supernatural promises, and a supernatural purpose. Do you have that? Do you see that, not only in the scriptures, but in your life as a child of God, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, every day, realizing that every day is given to you for one purpose and one main purpose only. Everything else falls under this purpose, for your life to glorify God. And it will, when we get a look at Jesus. We get a, not just a glimpse, but stand there in awe. This is a dreadful place. This is an awesome place. This is the place of God. Not just in a church house, but every day in my life. That guy's going to get saved tonight. He's going to die here if he missed. That God would help us to live for Him. We'll end this sermon on a fly.
Let's stand.